Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 164 of the world's first Paul Weller fan podcast. I'm Dan Jennings, and 10 years ago, I gave up my life stream and career as a radio presenter with one big regret. Never getting to interview my hero, the legendary singer, songwriter, and musician, Paul Weller. This podcast exists purely to solve that issue. Welcome to Desperately Seeking Paul. And something a little bit different on this episode of the podcast as we celebrate 40 years, yes, 40 years of introducing the Style Council. I thought it'd be really fun to hook up with two massive superfans. Karen McBride and Brenda Taylor are my special guests. Now, they followed the Style Council all over the UK, all over Europe, all overseas, and have some incredible stories of John Weller being on the tour bus, escapades in Italy and Munich and more, and ultimately a wonderful friendship over the course of those 40 years. Bonding over the music, the live gigs, the band members, even making their own clothes as you'll hear on this podcast. This is really fun, a real delight, some cracking stories on this. Karen McBride, Brenda Taylor, a Style Council celebration. Let's get into it. Brenda, thanks for joining me.
You're very welcome. I've been looking forward to this, bit nervous, but what's not to love? Sharing the love for Paul Weller. I talk about it to everybody, so hey.
And is this your first podcast appearance, Brenda?
Yes. Probably my last as well, I would say.
And Karen, hello to you.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Dan. Hi, Brenda. It's just so really weird because she's in Ireland and I'm here and I've had her by my side for 35 years, so it's like I've lost my left arm or whatever, but yeah.
We're going to talk about this lovely friendship of the two of you that kind of has bonded over the love of Weller and particularly kicking off with the Style Council, really, wasn't it? So we'll talk about all of this. First of all, let's talk about current stuff. Paul's right in the middle or getting towards the final days at the time of recording of the European tour. Yep. Karen, you literally got back this afternoon.
I certainly have, yeah. It's been amazing so far, what I've seen. I went to the first one, which was out in Paris. I was a bit nervous going to Paris, to be fair. I went on my own. I knew that there was going to be people over there. Yeah, I don't speak French. That was the nervous thing about it all. But I had such a brilliant reception from everybody. So it was just really cool. And it was fantastic being there for the opening, for the first gig. It was brilliant. Yeah, it was a good kickoff.
I guess that thing also of going into a new tour, you don't know what he's going to play. So there's that kind of excitement of what's the set list going to be? What's new? What has he ditched? What's it being introduced? What is he going to do differently? All those kind of things as well, yeah?
Oh, definitely, because you really still don't know. Although for the last 2 years, it's sort of roughly do know what's going to happen. But I guess that's me because I've been on so many of the gigs. But yeah, you don't know. I mean, Lear turned up. So it's always fantastic seeing Lear and joining Paul on stage to shout to the top. It was like, oh, take me straight back to the Style Council because she's so like her mum. It's unreal. So yes, we didn't know what was happening. He sung one new one and a couple of ones that he hadn't done for a long time. He only done one jam, which for me is great. He'd done four Style Council, which for me is amazing. Yeah, you don't ever know what you're going to get. It was great.
And then last night was
Bologna. And it was really bizarre because we'd been to Bologna a few years ago to see Paul. It was just like, it's in the middle of a wasteland and there is nothing around it. And I mean nothing. And when we went last time, there was the very end of like a food festival. So we managed to get, I think, a lemonade and a coffee. And there was a big fun fair, there was a big wheel there. So we spent our time because, as you know, we get there about 12 o'clock in the afternoon to kill the time. But there's nothing around there. So yesterday, I didn't even realise that it was going to even be in the same place. I don't even know why I didn't check. But anyway, yeah, it was in the same place. But since then, they've built a McDonald's. So even though it's about 20 minutes up the road, it killed our time walking backwards and forwards to McDonald's, and we could get internet. As soon as we got into McDonald's, we could get internet. So that was really cool. And obviously we met Paul, so we rushed back to McDonald's.
Well, hold on. You say obviously we met Paul. Like, that's the thing that everybody who goes to a gig gets to do. Talk me through that.
It don't always happen with me. Don't always happen with other people. The guys, I met a couple in Blackburn last year. I knew that they were going to Bologna, so we arranged to meet up. And Darren, it's been his lifelong ambition to ever meet Paul. And I said, it's going to happen, mate. It's going to happen. And he said, oh, Karen, I really hope that your luck's going to rub off on me. And we'd spent the night before with Sam, you know, Sam and Ange and this couple. We had a fantastic time. And he was so excited, but so, so nervous. I said, look, mate, just chill. Just chill. I'm nervous myself, believe it or not. I know I've met him a lot of times, but I still get nervous, still dribble a little bit. So when we got there, which was really early, Steve Craddocks was there and Jake, and we was having a really good old chat with them. And then we decided then, because it was so early, we went off to McDonald's, got a coffee, blah, blah, blah. Literally, as we walked back, the minibus was turned up. Paul got out and come straight over. He was so lovely. Obviously for me, because I get excited about meeting Paul and having a little chat. And I'd taken my boyfriend off Paul this time as well. I allowed him to come with me and he met Paul. So, you know, me and my mouth, I'm like, oh, Paul, meet my Paul. And he's like, all right, mate. And I think it was probably a little bit of, oh, you can have her now. Get her off my back sort of thing. But more than anything in the whole wide world, and I totally, totally mean this, if no one's ever met him, for me, that means so much when they actually do meet him, because I know the feeling that I get when I meet him. And as I say, I've met him hundreds of times. Darren was just so nervous. He was shaking. He was literally shaking. But he met him and he chatted with him and I was so happy. I could have cried for him because he was like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's just great. Yeah, really, really, really good.
And then Brenda, you're going to the tour, but it's at the time of recording, it's this coming Monday, right?
Oh yeah, can't wait. One of my favourite memories was in Munich when he was there last time. The minibus turned up and me and Karen was like, oh, we'll hang back. And there was people mobbing him and he's going, all right, mate, give me a beep, beep minute to get out of the minibus. So we thought, oh, we're just going to back off. And you know, we backed off, we walked around the block and then he spotted us and he came out. He was eating his food and he came out from eating his food and comes right over to say hello to me and Karen. Believe it or not, it was the first time that me and Karen actually had our picture together with Paul, because we always get them individually. And that's kind of one of my special moments, that us three together.
Nice. So it'll be nice going back to, is it the same venue or?
It's a different one this time.
It's one of those things where you, a new tour, there's a mixture of wanting to see things on social media, but at the same time wanting to avoid things because you want it to be a bit of a surprise and stuff. So how much do you know about the current tour, Brenda?
Oh, I know this, what songs he's going to sing and I know what to expect, really. But that's fine, because when you're there, and each night is a different experience. The Europe people seem to have been very up for it this time. And to be honest, I'd rather go abroad than see him in England. A much better vibe, I think.
Now, let's start this journey. So your story starts with the jam. Karen, we'll come back to you in the jam.
Okay.
Brenda, your story starts with Bitterest Pill, right?
Oh, 100%. I liked the Jam. I never went to see them. I lived in Aylesbury and we had the famous Friars Club and the Jam used to play there and they'd always do matinee and evening shows because all their kids, you know, all the kids were so young. And I had tickets once and for some reason I didn't go. And then I was watching Bitterest Pill and do you know what? I thought, oh my God, I love this man. It's really crazy after all that time. And I think because to me, the Bitterest Pill is very more Style Council than Jammy. Even though I like the Jam songs, Style Council was it for me, and obviously Paul on his own, but Style Council, I'm a huge Style Council fan. I'd have them over the Jam.
This is a Style Council celebration. We're talking, you know, 40 years now since that band started off. So Karen, for you, the Jam was not a thing, right? That was not your
not world. At all. Not at all. I was more into John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever at that point in my life.
Well, nothing wrong with that either.
But
Brenda, it was you that introduced Karen to the Style Council.
I did. I met Karen. We were both nursing in a hospital for people with learning disabilities. And I'd met this mad girl, Karen, with her wacky hair. And we just clicked. And I said, do you want to come to a concert? And she didn't really know who they were or anything. And I always remember she said to me, her first memory was, we were there because we were nearer the back. And as soon as Walls Come Tumbling Down come, I ran to the front. My friend ran to the front and she thought, oh, sod it. And she ran to the front as well. And from that day onwards, that was it.
Brilliant. What an introduction, though. The introduction was through a live gig, which is, but usually it's from a song. Do you know what I mean? You go, here's a 7-inch or here's the album, have a listen. But yours was right in the mix of it from a live gig, Karen.
Yeah, definitely. I was like, where's she gone? You know, it was in Birmingham, weren't it, Brenda? I think. I'm sure it was Birmingham. And it was like, where is she gone? So I just ran down the front and everyone was trying to, they were trying to get everyone back. But that was it. Hook, line and sinker. That was it.
So this would have been, what, 1984, I'm guessing?
It's round about, it's got to be 84, the end of 84, 83, 85, I think. Yeah.
I think Walls come out in 85, so I think it's probably 85. I'm really crap with dates. We're both crap with dates, so we'll probably say stuff and people might come and correct us, Dan, but we're old now, so we're rubbish with dates.
That's all right. I just ignore those people. That's fine. So, Brenda, you'd already been into the Style Council from day one then, I'm guessing, had you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Speak Like a Child, still one of my favourites today.
There we are. Look, there's a single.
Yay!
The brilliant. Black single, that brilliant picture on the back.
Isn't it? You know, the Café Blur album, played it to death. Played it to death. It's just, I still think it's one of my favourite albums, just because of the memories. And it started off, everything was so new and exciting. On from that as well, we'd go to all the like miners' gigs, anything he was doing, we were there, love. We were doing the marches. We even joined the Young Socialists. We didn't really know much about it, but we joined them anyway.
There was a good looking mod, weren't there? With a lovely scoop.
Albury is a very conservative place and there was no Labour here at all, but there was a Labour Young Socialist. So we joined. Yeah, there was me, Brenda and a bloke and then this mod. And they decided that we had to go and report on, do you remember Brenda up in Sheffield?
It was a meeting with Arthur Scargill.
So off we go to meet this minibus that these, what are they called them? The far left.
Yeah.
We had to meet this minibus in the town centre. We didn't have a clue. We get on this minibus thinking we were going to London and actually we went to Sheffield. We get to Sheffield and they were trying to flog us sandwiches on the minibus, weren't they, Brent? Do you remember?
Yeah.
And we get to Sheffield. The only thing I ever remember of Sheffield is going in this town hall or wherever, Arthur Scargill, Neil Kinnock, banging on about, I fell asleep. And then we got these really, really great chips in newspaper. Do you remember, friends? And then we went home. And then we went back to the Labour Party and they wanted a report. We had to make it up because we it was asleep.
We blagged a lot of it because we really didn't get it. My heart was in it and I'll always be a Labour through and through, right? But I don't say I understand it all. But it was an experience and it was a laugh.
Oh, we helped free Nelson Mandela. We've done the lot. We were there for the print workers. We used to stand on the line at Wapping. We've done the lot. Billy Bragg, we went everywhere. We marched. Do you remember when Weller was playing at, was it Clapham Common? And the march started Speaker's Corner and it was a march for, I can't even, it was something to do with Nelson Mandela. So we marched miles and miles and miles and miles and it was boiling hot. But when we got to the end, we got to see the Style Council. That's the only reason we've done it.
I love it. You're kind of, you know, you're joining up, signing up for these causes without really knowing what they are. Just because Paul's mentioned them and things, I guess.
Exactly. Right?
One of the funniest things, Dan, is we both worked in this hospital for people with learning disabilities. And our charge nurse used to say, you can't go to them things. If you get arrested, you lose your job. And we'd just say, do you know what? Look out on the telly tonight, love, because we'll be up there and we'll give you a wave. And he hated me and Karen. Didn't he, Karen?
He used to get MME to see when Weller was playing, basically. And if we was off sick, he knew where we were. We'll talk about it, about the Italian experience, but we had to, I got pulled up in front of the union for that. And that's because we'd done a sickie and went to Italy to see Style Council.
Oh my God, so funny. I remember, it's a Mick Talbot. Say to you both about, like, you talk, obviously, you go to lots of these things and you'll bump into Mick, right? Wasn't you chatting to him and he was mentioning these mad nurses at gigs, right? That was you two, right?
Yeah. Then we went to the Fiddler's Elbow, weren't we? It was a questions and answers. And we were chatting to him and I said to him, Mick, I've got to show you this photo of me and you back in the 80s. And I showed it him on my phone and he went, well, he swore and he said, oh my God, that's Gene, which is his son. And he said, look, I'll show you a photo of Gene now. And he's a spitting image of his dad. So he said, hang on a minute. One of them mad nurses, ain't you, from the 80s? So I said, yeah. And he said, oh my God, my mum always used to say, how's them two mad nurses, Mick? They still following you around. I was like, yeah, that's me. So every time he sees us now, he's like, you all right? Like, yeah, I'm good. You?
So I love the fact that you're getting this introduction to Paul through your friend, Brenda Caron. You're at the Style Council gig. And then suddenly this becomes, and I've seen you say this is kind of like then the only really consistent thing in your life over the past 40 years was Paul Weller.
100%. He's always been there. Always been there. We've all gone through life, especially over the last 40 years. I've married, had children, blah, 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 done this, done that. But he's always been there. And because of like having children and what have you, I had to leave it for a little while. But then I got back into it. Probably, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago, I would say, maybe a little bit longer, when the kids have started to grow up a little bit. And I'm like, right, mummy's leaving you now. I'm going to be would you like Paul to be your daddy? Yeah, that sort of thing. And got back into it. Yeah, no, I did. I used to say to my son, would you like Paul to be your new daddy? And he used to say, mum, shut up. But yeah.
And then Brenda, the same for you. Obviously, there was a time where, in the 90s, early noughties, the Style Council was not, you know, a cool thing to love, right? Because it was something that kind of fizzled out towards the end.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And even when Paul came out on his own and he was up in like Aylesbury and there was like a dozen people there, I was still there. So when Caron was off having babies and stuff, I was still trotting the boards, love, and doing it all. And it's kind of flipped now because I'm in Ireland and I moved to Ireland 5 years ago. I can't go to as many as what I would like to do. So Caron's like going to more now than what I did. You know, it's life, isn't it? Sometimes it's life. Yeah. But I try to go to as many as I can and I make sure I have a bloody good time when I'm there. Yeah, it's never been the popularity. I don't care. I'd stick by them thick and thin. I don't care. But we went to the last gig, Dan, and even I thought it was a bit shit, I have to say. I'll be honest with you. And I love him to bits and I've never anything else, but it was a bit crap. And when they finished, if that was the stuff they were turning out, it was time to finish that. I think they've done the right thing.
They are an incredible singles band, or were an incredible singles band, from the, you know, that 7-inch, the B-sides, everything. Were there stand-up moments for you where those single releases were very special?
All of them, really. I think it's in the early days, and you're waiting for the next one to come out and the next one, and you think, oh, they can't top this one. But they did. They actually did. Each time. And that was amazing, I think. And do you know what? And even today, there's the odd song that I don't like, but I like more. And I'm not just liking them because they're him. I actually do really dig them. And there are some that I listen to on the album and I think, oh my God, I don't really like this. But when you hear it live, completely different. And I love it.
And they were a brilliant live band, the Style Council. The crew that they had, the honorary counsellors that they had with them, added so much.
Yeah.
But they also, I love the fact they could dial it up or turn it down. So the fact that sometimes you'd have full orchestra or you'd have the horn section, other times it was just like four of them, you know, there was something really unique about them in that way live.
Definitely. And I think for me, it's the purity of Paul's voice. Although he sounds different today, to be honest with you, his voice is still beautiful and in a different way now from the Style Council days. It still makes me go, oh. We went to Brighton, I have to tell you this, and I've never fainted, I've never done anything like that, and it was so hot in Brighton, oh my God, and people were jumping on my back, and I had to get hauled out, and someone took a video, and all you can see is my big backside, going under the barrier and getting dragged out. I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
I stayed there, though.
Yeah, yeah. You just helped nudge her over the barrier, right?
No, I was like, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, I'll see you in a bit.
And then, Karen, for you, are there particular venues that have stood out during the Style Council and the solo years? Are there venues that you go, this is a must visit, or these are great locations?
Oh, definitely. You've got to remember, back in the Style Council days, right, they played in some of the crappiest places you could ever, ever imagine, but they were some of the best gigs. You know, I remember in a little place in Blackburn, it certainly weren't where I went last year, which I think it was King's Hall, which is one of Paul's favourite venues. And the green room was a toilet, weren't it, Brenda? Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was in a toilet. First time we met them, and we were sat in, and we could go in and meet them. And I'm sat there. I've got photos of sitting there, and Paul's just sat on the side of the basin, and I'm sat beside him, and I had a photo. It was like, but they were the bestest times, because everywhere I go in England, all the little shittiest places in England, people go, whoa, how do you know that? And I go, oh, I've seen Style Council there. Oh, how do you know that? Oh, I've seen Style Council there. Because we just went everywhere, didn't we, Brent? In the solo years, probably the best, one of the best times I've ever seen him, or one of the best venues, was this tiny venue in New York, weren't it, Brenda? It, the capacity wasn't very many, and we were so close. I could see up his trouser leg. That's how close it was. But it was a great venue. We've been to so many different venues. I don't like the arenas. The atmosphere there's no atmosphere in an arena. So if he plays at arenas, I tend not to go, to be fair. I'm not a fan of the arenas. Definitely, if there's a crappy little venue somewhere or a small capacity venue, like he's playing tonight and it's in an amphitheatre, and that would in Italy, and that's just, to me, that would be, oh my God. But, you know, any venue that I've ever seen him in, apart from the arenas, for me, have been amazing. And I've seen him from LA to all over America, all over, you know, all over England.
And the Style Council obviously wasn't just the Paul Weller show. You know, Mick Talbert, DC Lee, Steve White, such an important mix of that band. You had Jay at the beginning as well. The four of them, let's talk about the four of them, the kind of crux of the Style Council that everybody knows and loves. That band were so special together, weren't they?
Do you know what? It was the whole build-up of it. It weren't just the band. So before they used to come on, they always Montelouse, who was DJ, and he sang as well. And I'm not sure, I can't remember if Palo Hewitt used to DJ as well, because he was always by the side of Paul, like, you know, and I'm sure he used to DJ. And then Vontalouse used to come on, and he always sung, didn't he, Brenda, the Barry White number, I can't do nothing without my baby. The place used to go mental. And you knew as soon as he'd finished, Style Council were coming on. So, yeah, that was the big build-up of it all. And, yeah, of course, when they come on, it was just crazy. And going back to what Brenda said with Europe, I mean, 100%, we've been all over Europe, and they've always probably been the better gigs, purely because the Style Council were, I feel like, I want to say that they were bigger in Europe. You Europeans took to that sort of vibe, like, you know, and still do. When you're in England, you've always got that, there's a lot of Jam fans. I'm not dissing the Jam at all, but there's always that, you know, oh yeah, let's do Malice, you've got to listen to that. You don't get that when you go abroad, because they embrace whatever he's going to play. And a lot of it is the Style Council. Last night at that gig, as soon as he started playing Shout to the Top, the place went crazy. For me, the European gigs, like, you know, are always the better ones, weren't they, for the Style Council, don't you think, Brenda? They went down.
No, I do think for the Style Council, and I also think for Weller, because for me, one of the standout ones was Paradiso, and he loved it so much, he'd done four encores. Do you remember that a few years
ago? Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah, I went to Paradiso in, would have been, what, March, April time this year, I think, something like that was there. And I'd never seen Paul overseas, actually. Yeah, what a special venue, like so good. And is there a place in the crowd that you, because you get there dead early, I know the answer to this, but people listening won't necessarily, but is there a place in the crowd that's your spot, Karen?
Yeah, just under Paul.
Brenda?
And I'm next to her. And going back to the Style Council days, it was so funny because I'd stand by Paul, but Karen wanted to stand near McTolbert. Do you remember?
Yeah, on this note, I have to say, right, I loved Paul. I thought I still love Paul, obviously, but I've never fancied Paul, but I've always fancied Mick Tolbert.
It's those magic fingers, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I always stood to the left at the Style Council and Brenda always stood to the right where Paul was.
But not like, but then you're not like together, right?
Yeah, we were, but it was that I could always be on the left because Mick was there and then she was on the right and Paul was there. Yeah.
Because I imagine that they were separated a little bit.
Well, they sort of were, but yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay.
There weren't as many on the stage either at that, you know, and then Dee was always in the middle there. So, yeah.
We made it work.
Let's talk Brixton. I've been obviously as part of this podcast, you know, I do a bit of research and that involves with you two. I can't Google anything really, so I'm stalking your social media, right? Talk to me about the Brixton football match. So this was the Style Council versus Madness. Is that right?
Yeah, five-side.
Yeah,
five-side football. Yeah.
Well, how and when and why? Brenda, tell me this story.
I don't even know how we found out about it, but we found out about it and we thought, oh, do you know what? We only went because we thought Paul might be there. And he wasn't. And we were disappointed, but we soon got over it because there was Mick, there was a couple from Madness, Junior Giscombe, loads of them. And it was so funny. And we've got the pictures today to prove it. And I think Mick's running was really probably the high point. It was really funny, actually.
In what way?
You know, you know, you can't see me, but you can see me.
This is a charity football match, Karen, was it?
Yeah, it was. I remember the it was a blue and black striped shirt that they had on, weren't they? Also in the team was Nicky's other half.
Russell.
He was part of the team. So I think it must have been Mick Tolbert, Junior played on that side, Russell.
Kamel Hines was in the team,
yeah,
I think.
Kamel Hines was there, yeah. Yeah, it was just fun. And all it was in Brixton Leisure Centre or something, wasn't it? There weren't many there, but we watched this. Thought we had no clue what football, do you know what I mean? But it was a laugh and it was like, oh my God, we're watching the people that we idolise running around playing football. It was weird, wasn't it?
And we used to go to weird random things anyway. We used to go up on a Sunday night to Soul on Sunday up the old King's Cross when Paul used to showcase, when he first showcased Junior Giscombe. There was anything weird. We've been up when he's DJ. Anything weird and wacky on, we're out there.
Brilliant. Now, let's talk about some of the characters as part of this as well. And obviously, in the jam days, there were the whole sound checks. You were getting to meet the band. The Style Council didn't do that as much, but you still got to meet, obviously, you know, in the green room, the toilet and things like that. John Weller, right? John Weller is such a key part of this whole story and has been on this podcast. It's you know, so many lovely memories.
Oh, he was just one of the kindest gentlemen. That's all. He was a gentleman. Always. You all right, girls? You all right, girls? Yeah, we're fine, John. You sure you're all right? If you need anything, just let me know. He was like that all the time. Whenever he see you, you all right, girls? You all right, girls? Do you need anything? No, thank you, John. We're all right. Thank you. Honestly, he was lovely, weren't he, Brent? He was just really kind. He had this sort of, there was a lot of girls. You remember the jam? It was quite manly. You know, there was a lot of boys that followed the jam. I'm sure that obviously there was girls as well. But when the Style Council started, suddenly there was this influx of a lot of girls going to see Style Council. And I don't know if he took it upon himself that he sort of had to look after the girls, but he always kept his eye on us, didn't he, Brent? And always asked if we was all right. Just a kind guy. The story was we had gone to was it a miners thing, Brenda, over at Willesden Junction, thing? There was a Japanese girl that we met through Weller. There always used to be a lot of Japanese girls who loved Style Council. And we'd met this girl, and I can't remember her name, Brenda, you would know.
Yuko,
that's it. And we'd met her, and she was going back to Japan. And she had said, oh, I'd love to go to Solid Bond Studios. So we were staying the night, weren't we, Brenda, at this after doing this thing. So we'd said, right, we'll take you. Like, we went off to Solid Bond Studios. Yeah, we got in there and the girl on the desk, and I think her name's Tara, and we were chatting away and she let us look around the studios and that. And having an amazing time, weren't she? She was just like taking photos. We were taking photos. The stand that they used in the my favourite shop, the hat stand, there was the hat was still on it. So I had the hat on and we was mucking about chatting. And I can't remember if there was a phone call or she said, you know, they're going to Italy tomorrow. So if you go to blah, 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 you might be able to see him at the airport. Do you remember, Brenda? And we were like, oh, we can't go to Italy. We've got to go back to work. Wow. Yeah. So we went back. Now, my dad would always lend me the money. Remember, we were poor nurses. We actually really were. And this was the 80s, so it was even worse then. And Brenda's granddad always used to lend her the money. So we got on to them and we had the money to go. So literally we phoned in sick and we went and it was boiling hot out there. So we had to not get a tan or anything like that, because if we did, then we would be sussed. I mean, we were sussed in anyway, but anyway, we didn't know that at the time. So off we goes and we were going to...
That was Padova, I think it was.
We went there and it was this tiny, tiny little Italian village. There was like little old men playing like bowls. Do you remember, Brenda? It was just like, it was like proper Italian out there. Obviously, it was it, no? And off we goes into this taxi, I'll never forget, to go to the gig. So we'd got our tickets for the gig, got in this taxi, and back in them days, obviously, it was lira, it wasn't euros. So we got in this taxi, and we got there, and it said, concert been cancelled. I was like, what? Concert's been cancelled. But I don't know how we found out, but we found out that actually it had been moved up the road. So it was the only time we ever said, cab, follow that car sort of thing. So this cab's following this car to the next gig. And in the meantime, the meter's going up and it was thousands and thousands of lira. Do you remember, Brenda? And we was like, oh my God, how are we going to pay for this? It turned out to be about a tenner in the end. But we get to this gig and it was an amphitheatre. Previously, we had made friends, I guess, with the coach driver. Do you remember, Brenda? He see us. He said, come over here, girls, come over here. And in Italy, the police are quite strong and the security is quite strong. And they're like, oh, where are you going? You know, and the coach driver's like, that's all right, they're with us. So we went in and he said, they're doing a sound check. He said, so come on, just come on in. Well, then John was there. If I remember, I think he'd gone, checked out the stage or whatever, and it weren't safe. So he weren't having them play there. So that's why it was cancelled. So we stayed at this amphitheatre and they were having their food and we were like, oh my God, it was so nerve wracking, weren't it? It's Paul Weller's you eating his dinner and Mick Tolbert, and we were just like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. Anyway, we listened to the gig and all that sort of thing, and he said, as soon as I say so, was his name Ted, the guy with the little shorts on, right? So he used to wear these denim shorts, I remember him, like dungaree shorts, and we used to call him Tiddly Ted because he was always pissed, weren't they? Remember?
And this is somebody attached to the Weller crew, is it?
He was one of the crew.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And the guy, Dave, he was Paul's guitar bloke. I can't remember his surname.
Dave Liddell.
That's it. He was lovely. He was always around. Ted said, as soon as I give you the sign, you need to come out of the audience, because we were right at the front. And he gave us the sign and we had to go at the side of the stage and he got us backstage. I think the last song that they were singing was You're the Best Thing. So we're stood on stage with the Style Council while they're singing the You're the Best Thing. The back gates opened and we were to get straight onto the coach. So John had said, girls, don't worry, I'll get you home. We'll drop you off on the way home. And we were like, how's he going to do that? We had no not even a thing about us getting on the coach and going and them dropping us off on the coach. Anyway, we get onto the coach, didn't we, Brem? And we were like, oh my God, there's all this crowd out there. We were waving and everything. We were like, oh yeah, look at us sort of thing. We really thought we were something. Gets on the coach. John comes. All right, darling. Yeah, yeah, you're all right, girls. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How much did that taxi cost her? Oh, we were like, oh, I don't know. Here, I'll take this money. And we were like, oh, no, we don't want your money, John. He goes, it's all right. I've just won it. He said, I've won it off of Kenny. He said, don't worry about that. It's him paying for it. There you go. Take the money. That'll pay for your cab. And we were like, no, honestly, we don't want it. And he goes, no, take it. He said, I'll tell you what then. If you don't want to pay for the cab for it, he said, go and treat yourself something new. He said, you're coming to Milan tomorrow. And we were like, what? And in the meantime, getting on the back of the coach was obviously the Style Council. And we were shitting ourselves because we were young, you know, as remember. And it was just like, it was so bizarre. Anyway, I'm sat there and we're both sat there and we're going, let's go back to their hotel. Oh my God, we're going to have a party with them. Oh my God, oh my God. But do you know what happened? They actually took us to our hotel and dropped us off. And then they went on. But we then travelled to Milan. And we shouldn't have done that because we were supposed to be back at work. And that's when it turned to poo. But we went to Milan and we found this YMCA. Oh, it was awful. YMCA rank of a place. But we stayed, didn't we, Brendan? We went to the gig. It was in some big stadium. It was very, very different to what the gig where we just left. Yeah, it was in the middle of the 80s and it was a bit, you know.
I remember the next time we went to Milan and the only room in the whole of Milan we could find was one single bed and we had to top and tail. Do you remember that?
No, that was Dusseldorf, Brent. That was Dusseldorf. That's when we left them in Germany.
See, I told you I'm old and I forget.
See, I remember things, 100% remember things. I don't necessarily remember the dates or the names. I remember people and I remember the events, but I don't always remember the dates.
For me, I remember what we wore. And I said, Karen, do you remember? You had that yellow shirt with the big collars. And do you remember that skirt we made before we left? Because we used to make our own clothes, even though they were shite. But we thought we were so funky. I know I wore that to that gig. And oh, yeah, I remember that.
Making your own Lacoste and cutting out a crocodile.
We had no money, Dan. We were poor.
Well, I'm not surprised. You were skiving off work the whole time. What happened when you got home after that gig?
This was the thing, right? They were in the days of ferries. You couldn't fly. It was too expensive to fly. So 9 times out of 10, we'd got the train from Ostend. We'd get the ferry that took like forever. We'd get drunk on martini because that was the cheapest drink that we could get.
Cinzano, sorry.
We'd already said to like Ted or whoever, and it, don't worry, we'll sort it. So then John comes back and he said, don't worry, girls. He said, the guys will take you to the Elephant and Castle on the coach. We were like, what? Be at a certain time tomorrow, we're taking you all the way back on the coach. We're going to drop you at the Elephant and Castle. So that's where the coach is going. So we were like, oh my God. But it was obviously overnight. So we were like, oh my God, we're going to spend the whole night with Paul Weller on the coach. Oh my God, that's just going to be so amazing. We were so excited. Well, they picked us up and they picked Paul up and Mick and Dee and everybody. And it was hello, 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 hello. Straight to the airport and drop them off. And who was left on the coach? Me and Brenda and the crew.
That's showbiz. But,
you know, it was still fun. We had some really good fun. We blew in card games and stuff like that we were playing. They stopped at a garage, didn't they? Tiddly Ted stopped and he's thinking, oh, we'll get them drunk and that. So went in and bought loads of cans of beer and then brought them back and realised they were all non-alcoholic beers. So didn't get as drunk as well.
And in amongst all these adventures, obviously, is the love of the music, right? So for you, Karen, yeah. What are the standout songs? What were the standout singles for you for the Style Council?
My favourite song is The Cost of Loving.
Oh, really?
The Orange Album's my favourite album.
Is it? I got them all. I mean, this is a podcast, right? An audio podcast. You don't need to see this, but I thought I'd hold this up because this is a beautiful thing, the Orange Album. So this isn't many people's favourite at all.
I just love that album. And I remember them singing that back in the day. And then when Paul was solo, that never happened again until we went. Do you remember Andy Lewis? He was such a lovely, lovely, lovely man. And he knew that we were massive Style Council fans. When we went to Munich to see Paul. Great surprise for us. They played The Cost of Loving. And Andy had said to us, you're going to be in for a surprise tonight, girls. He didn't know that that was my favourite song or anything like that. But that intro, especially a 12-inch, I get, oh, man, it brings me up in goosebumps. But as soon as that, and they played it. And that's the only time that I've ever heard that in all them years.
What did they do? Was it Head Start for Happiness? And they done them both on that gig. But then they kept the Head Start. Was it Head Start for Happiness? Yeah, they kept some of them, but that was the only time they played that one. They never played it again, did they? It didn't go down very well, though, from what I remember.
Well, for me, it did.
Karen's the only fan of that. I mean, I love that single, don't get me wrong, but yeah, funny. And then Paul Weller solo, so the Style Council comes to an end. Karen, you obviously together, you were at that final gig. What was your experience, that final house gig?
Well, yeah, it weren't for me, not at all. And we both looked at each other and it was like, what's happened? This is not us. This is not what it's all about. So, yeah, it was absolutely gutting. You know, when they say, like, when the band split up, you know, and like, obviously, when the Beatles split up and Take That split up, and that is devastating. That's how we both felt. It really was, because then it was quite a while before Paul then started off the Paul Weller movement, which we did go and see, but it weren't the Style Council. And even though I love Paul, not everything he does now, but obviously, I still love the music and I still love the whole thing of going to the gigs and everything. It's not the Style Council. So when he plays the Style Council, I go back 40 years. My head goes back 40 years. And especially, as I said before, when Lear's up there with him and it's like looking at Dee, it's like, oh my God. And the memories and it all comes back. It's a wonderful feeling for me.
I'm trying to think what gig it was I saw you at recently. It would have been this year or last. And you were in the balcony. I was in the pit. You're in the balcony. It might have been Paradiso. Was it Paradiso? Yeah. And yeah. He played, would have been Head Start for Happiness, I think he played. And I looked up at the balcony. And you were in a seat and you got out of your seat and you were going nuts.
Oh, crazy. Like, I just love it. And the funny thing is, right, is that Paul does forget his words sometimes, and especially to the older songs. And he looked down and I'm singing and he like puts him straight back again, like, and he smiles because he knows that he's just sung the wrong line or said the right, but he knows he's only got to look down the front and he knows that he's back on track again. But as soon as he plays them Style Council, I mean, like last night, he done Head Start, Shout to the Top. One more, I can't remember. It was another Style Council one.
Was it Ever Changing Moods or You're the Best
Ever
Thing?
Ever Changing Moods, yeah, I think so. And my other half was with me and he goes, as soon as he can, and he don't just say it, he's not just saying it to please me, but he said, as soon as that Style Council cut, he looks straight at you. Because he knows, I'm sure he just knows because he knows that I go mad as soon as they come on. Yeah. So, yeah.
The other thing that's really lovely, I mean, obviously there's this wonderful friendship between the two of you and the bonds that are created there, but there is such a big community of Weller-loving fans and solo, it could be The Jam, but there's a big community of people who absolutely adore the Style Council. We see you at gigs, you're together, you know, you've got such great friendships across the board.
100%, and for me, that's part of it. Nothing beats going to a gig with somebody that gets it. And we meet up, like she said, from about 12 o'clock and we just have the best time. We laugh. I tell you, it's just the best time. We're all like, are you going here? I'm going here. Are you going there? No, we're not going. Oh, you know, sod it. Yeah, let's go. And then we decide, yeah, we're going now because somebody else is going. And it is about the community. I mean, me and Karen have a great time on our own. Don't get us wrong. But it is lovely to be with like-minded people and share your stories and, you know, what do you think could come out? I don't know. What time did you come today? You know, it's all that kind of stuff.
The other thing that's been great in recent years is we've been able to celebrate the Style Council more, in the sense that there was this brilliant documentary created by Bax and Lee, who've been on the podcast, and we got that wonderful little moment at the end with the band back together as well, right?
Oh God,
it was so beautiful. I cried. It was just, I don't know how to describe it, but it holds so many memories for me, the Style Council, in so many different ways. You know, from my dad lending me the money, and he used to love Weller. You know, he's not with me no more. He'd say, oh, bloody, my mum used to go, where are you going now? What are you doing now? And he used to say, oh, leave her alone. She's happy. Just leave her. So all that, you know, And obviously my fantastic friendship with Brenda and meeting so many people and just being there, you know. And then for me as well, when they recognise you, when Paul recognises me or Mick recognise, hello, Karen, you're all right. I'm like, oh, he knows me. They've been in my life all them years, you know. It's just, yeah, for me, it just blows my mind. When that came on and I watched it, I was just crying. I've met Dee quite a few times and she's just such a lovely lady. So, so lovely. And I said, oh, I love you, Dee. And she's like, oh, I love you too, darling. And I thought, yeah, but if only you really knew that it was a real love, you know, a real love. But yeah, no, it's great. And Steve White, I met him, well, we've met him a few times, but last year we met him at Brighton at the exhibition. And I was just like, oh, Steve. And he's like, oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm showing him all these photos of us, like when we were younger. And he was like, who's that? And I'm like, well, that's you. He's like, bloody hell, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, no, great. And Camille Hines was beautiful. And Steve, Brenda, what's his surname?
Steve Sidelnik.
Yeah.
I can't ever say it. We used to call him Steve Sidelnik.
Yeah. He was always there. And Helen Turner, they were the ones. And I think Jacko played a little bit later on with Style Council, or done a little bit. But then I see him now. And when he stood in front of me last night, because I couldn't get in, I couldn't get under Paul last night.
Oh, somebody already had the space, did they?
Well, yeah.
Was that Shane Jewson?
No, he wasn't. It was so hot in there. There's no air conditioning. The place where it is like a big hangar. It's like an aeroplane hangar. It's like the most bizarre place. But yeah, I mean, it's a great venue, but it's crazy. So I had to go to the right. So I was sort of under Craddock's and under Jacko. And it was great because as soon as he starts playing that sax, and that's the sound of the Style Council for me. Yeah, so it's brilliant. Yeah.
And Brenda, what about you? Take me back to watching that documentary then. What did that mean to you?
Ah, just meant the world. In the deep, very deep sea was always one of my favourites. It just makes you tingle. And I just love the fact that you could see, and I know they had their moments together, but actually they still love and respect each other, I think. I got that vibe from it, which I think is beautiful. You know, people go on and have different lives and make up, break up, but I still think there's that love.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, ultimately it always comes back to the music, doesn't it? And what they've left in the same way as the Jam is a time capsule of perfect music. The Style Council, so many incredible singles, these terrific albums as well. And ultimately it comes back to the quality of the songs. This is not just a crush on Mick Talbot for you, Karen, and a crush on Paul Weller for you, but this is about the music.
Oh, 100%. And the thing is, I think they were a bit ahead of their time there, because some of these songs now still stand up today in today's market, I feel. And it's great to see a lot of young people getting into it as well. You can go to the concerts and there's old folks like us, but it's great to see the new generation actually digging the Style Council.
And are you still marching? Are you still part of the Young Socialists and all that? Are you still into whatever Weller Causes is pushing at the minute?
I don't talk politics no more, Dan.
me and Karen fight about this, but so we don't talk about it. I'm still a Labour girl through and through, but there you go.
Look, this has been so lovely. It's always nice seeing what big fans Paul has. And I think there is this thing of an artist of Paul's stature where he's, you know, has such a long career. You're obviously going to get these fans who this music means so much to. And reaching out and having you on the podcast is as important as it is as having band members and producers and all that kind of stuff. So it's lovely to hear your stories on the podcast. I do have two final questions. And you might, spoiler alert, you might have already given me clues to the answers, but we'll see where we go with this anyway. You're allowed one Paul Weller song for the rest of your life. It can be the Jam. It could be the Style Council. I think you're fans, but we'll see where we go. Or it could be solo. What are you going to go with, Brenda?
I'm going for this. Well, I know what I want to go with, and then a lot of the others keep coming up in my mouth. But no, I'm going for Spring, Summer, Autumn as one of my all-time favourite songs. Short and sweet and beautiful.
It's lovely, that. And then a nice version by Tracy Young as well.
Yes. Still not Paul's, good as Paul's, but you know. I remember it mostly from being live. He would always sing it.
It's mad, isn't it, that? Because you think the fact that they're doing B-sides live shows the quality of the B-side. Often with bands, it was kind of like the B-side was a bit of a chuck away, right? But the Jam and the Style Council, they were always as good quality, the B-sides, as the A-side.
I've got the A-side, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
In fact, some of them are better. Spring, Summer and Autumn would win any time for me.
Karen, same question for you then. Paul Weller, it could be the Jam. I think it's unlikely, but you never know. It could be. It's not, but it could be. It could be the Style Council, probably likely. Or it could be Paul Weller solo. What are you going
to
go with?
It's got to be the Cost of Loving, because it's that, but it's that 12-inch version. It's that intro. It's just amazing. It makes me go weak when I hear it.
Nice. I love it. Now, look, you know this. The purpose of this podcast was to meet lovely people like yourself. And actually, when I first created the podcast, the whole idea was every week we just talk to a different fan. Right, that was the idea. And then we'd maybe run for like 20, 30 episodes and that would probably be it. But it kind of detoured along the way and we started talking to band members and producers and engineers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so fantastic.
It's nice to get it back on track with some fans, right? This was the original idea. So look, if I do get the interview with Paul Weller, what would you like to know? Brenda, kick us off.
I don't know. You put me on the spot now. I don't know. You'll have to come back to me, love. I'll have to think about that one.
Today or text me? It works well on a podcast. Like, Karen, what would you like me to ask Paul Weller?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Just, I guess, well, I know. I sort of know. You know, I always wondered if he knows we're there. Not just me, but the fans. But he totally does. He totally does. So probably, I don't know, just ask him if he loves Karen. I'm sure he'll tell you the truth. I don't know. Yeah, something like that, I guess. I'm just so happy that people that are not, I want to say privileged, because I have been very privileged in the fact that I've met him so many times. I've been in the right place at the right time, sometimes the wrong place at the right time and all that sort of thing. But I've been there and I just get so happy for people that have never ever met him and it's their dream, and I just think, oh my God, that makes me happy.
Well, if you was going to ask him before Monday, I'd say, can you ask him to come out and get his picture with me on Monday, because he's come out every day, right? And I bet your bottom dollar is probably piddling down the rain and he won't come out or somewhere on Munich, I just betcha.
Well, I had that in Amsterdam and in Paradiso. It wasn't there the night I was there and came out the night after.
I
think he's avoiding me. I don't know.
The last time I see him was earlier on the year. Went to Berlin. After the show, I come out and he come over and he threw his arms around me, gave me a hug. And I said, it's been too long. And he said it has, and kissed me on the cheek. And he was lovely. And I thought, that's worth it. That was worth standing here for hours on end and all that stuff. The fact that he knows and the fact that he acknowledges us, and yeah, he does. I think his fans are really important to him, but you need to give him space. I think some people would just like mob him and all this crap, but we've always been, you know, we've been there, but we've always been respectful. And I think he appreciates that as well.
So that's your advice to me. Okay. So be respectful, give him space.
And give him a kiss on the cheek.
These are great tips, Brenda. Thank you. I should ask before we go, what happened to the nursing career, or should I not ask?
I still work with people with learning disabilities in Ireland. I work in a little house now, so I still do care work.
And back in the day, did you get the sack for going to all those Style Council gigs?
I was a union rep at the time. So when Karen was off sick, I came back the day before Karen. So our charge nurse said to me, you've been off with that Karen around the world, haven't you? And I said, how dare you? How very dare you? Anyway, I was so convincing, he apologised to me. But he said, but I know Karen's been going to the gigs. So I was a shop steward at the time, and we called another man in, another shop steward, didn't he? And I was Karen's rep, so I went with her. And anyway, we talked him down and we got her off it. And as we come out the door, the other rep said, I know you went, but was he really good? How was he? Because he was a full weather man as well.
So funny. So we got in so much trouble, but the nursing worth career. It. Yeah, I had children in 1990. That was the end for me for that career.
This has been such a delight. I know the fans of the podcast and the fans of Weller are going to love listening to you too, and rightly so. Karen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Dan. It's been amazing. Thank you.
And Brenda, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Dan. And you're not as scary as I thought it would be. So.
Oh, it's a safe environment here, folks. It's a safe environment here. Bless you.
Carry on talking.
I could just leave you to it on it if you want.
Oh, we reminisce all the time. We reminisce all the time, especially come Monday. Brenda's coming from Ireland and I'm coming from England, and we meet at the airport, and that'd be the start of it then. Oh, do you remember? Do you remember? And we go over and over the same thing, but it don't matter because it's still new and fresh to us.
And it's nice that you're not having to make your own clothes these days, right?
Yeah, Fred Perry does it for me. He's a good old boy.
Very good.
I can afford it now.
I should ask actually one question. Did you go to any of the Red Wedge gigs? I bet you did.
Oh, all of them. The one that sticks out in my mind, we went to Birmingham. We didn't have a ticket, but we went to Birmingham. It was thick with snow. Do you remember, Brent? And we went down the backstage, and there was no way. We couldn't see anybody that we knew, so we couldn't get in, couldn't get a ticket. But it was the best place to be. We met UB40, Jimmy Somerville, Madness. We had photos of them all as they were going in the back door and then coming out. And then we got in right at the last minute, didn't we, Brenda? And got to the front of the steps out of the... it's not even there no more. I think it was the Birmingham Apollo or something like that, weren't it? But yeah, they were great gigs. We... Frank Chicken and Dr. Robert and, oh, we see some great bands then. Lloyd Cole and the Commotions were one of our favourites, weren't they, Brem?
And we even went to see Tom Robinson. I think he'd done some of those.
Oh, yeah, Sing If You're Glad to Be Gay. Yeah, do you remember that? They'd done a comic one and we went and stayed with my nan in Forest Gate. Do you remember, Brenda? They'd done a comic Red Wedge and it was Lenny Henry, French and Saunders, Ben Elton, all of the like alternative comedies of the 80s. And we went to stay with my nan in Forest Gate and we had to get the ferry over to the Isle of Dogs? I went like that. It was so funny. But yeah, we got over there. And we see the show and we really wanted to talk to Lenny Henry because we thought he was like, and he was so rude, weren't he, Brenda? Do you remember?
Yeah.
He was going to be horrible. So we didn't speak to him, but he was good. It was really good. But they tried that. We only ever went to that one. The rest of them were all the music ones. Yeah, we got the T-shirts. We got the lot. I tell you what, Dan, I forgot to mention, right? They done 3 nights, Style Council, I think it was 3 nights at Wembley. As I say, we spoke to the coach driver many times. So we were over the barrier. You could never get into Wembley. That was impossible. And we were over the barrier. You know that bloke in the coach? He came out of the barrier. And he came all the way round into the car, which was the car park at Wembley, got us on the, it was a lorry, weren't it? Do you remember? One of the truckers, something.
Coachy thing.
Took us into where the coach was. We got on the coach. The Style Council were doing their sound check. We was on the coach talking to the coach driver. We were having a little look around. We were taking cigarette butts, right? Paul's, well, we were fuming. They were silk cut, and that's what he used to smoke. We were taking these cigarette butts out the ashtray. We were picking up anything we thought that was Weller's. We put it in our bags, and he said, right, you're going to have to get off now. So we got off this bus after about an hour, got off the bus and walked back through the gates. It was like really, really weird. But Brenda had bought me a pair of Paul Weller knickers, which were about, they were like a G-string, but they had Weller's face on the crotch area.
With huge.
Paul Weller. Anyway, I gave them.
Hold on, were these official merchandise? Or?
No, they weren't. I don't think they were official. Then we got Paul to sign them, and he signed them on the side. Unfortunately, I ain't got them anymore. But yeah, they were Paul Weller knickers, red and white. They were frilly ones. Do you remember, Brenda?
Yeah, I remember. There's a picture of you I still got, and you're wearing them on your head, love.
On my head, yeah.
Oh, look, we need to put all these things in the show notes for the podcast. That would be wonderful. You must share these. That's hilarious.
They used to do these trips, right? You could catch the coach in London, and it was for like a two-night stay. Oh, they probably still do them, but it was a Paul Weller one. And we get on this coach, me and Brenda. It was all mods on there. Do you remember, Brenda? Mm-hmm. It was all mods. And it was like, whoa, yeah, it was a little bit, you know. Anyway, gets on this coach and we're going to Germany. We were going to, I'm sure it was Dusseldorf. And they played Paul Weller videos because you was allowed to watch videos then on the coach all the way to Dusseldorf. And it was your ticket was included. So you got into the gig. We met some beautiful people, got into the gig. We had our yellow shirts on, Brenda, because I got photos of that. And that was one of the first times I vaguely remember meeting Paul. I can't remember what year it was, but you know the coat, the big blue furry coat he had on in our favourite shop on the album cover. He had that on and he looked so big and it was like, oh my God, look at him. He was just like this big god stood there. Because we then had started talking to the coach driver. He'd put us on the guest list for Belgium. And this was another time we took sickies as well. For Belgium. We were supposed to come back on that coach. So as soon as the gig was over, it was back on the coach and coming back to England. But of course, we weren't going nowhere. So the coach were waiting for us. In the meantime, we'd got this one room with a single bed in whatever the hotel it was, and we shared it. And the coach, well, you'll get back on the coach. We were going, no, we're not going home. We're going to Belgium. And do you remember that, Brenda, when they were waiting for us? Anyway, they went off, they left us. That was fine. We got back to this hotel, stayed in this single bed, top and towels and everything. We were so excited. We were going to meet Paul and Mick, and we just spoke all night long. And then I don't know how, we probably got the train or whatever to Belgium and met the tour there. And we was on the guest list for however many dates. And then we thought, well, we better go back to work. So we did.
We'd done that Rob Retcher, I can't say it, over in Ostend. And that was a bit of a fun. Karen got drunk the night before. It was coming out of both ends, right? And I was not sympathetic. I was going, you better hurry up. She's going, oh, I'm so ill. I'm going, I don't care. I'm going to see Paul without you. You brought it on yourself, Karen. And I was giving her such a hard time because I wanted to go and see him and she's ill and I didn't care.
and we got there and they were selling these watermelons, and that was the only thing that kept me going throughout the whole gig. There was like Paul Young, there was loads of different acts there, and obviously Style Council. And on the way back, we were in the middle of nowhere, and on the way back I needed to go to the loo. We were knocking on people's doors, can I go to the toilet please? And we're like, yeah, we'll take you to the train station, which the bloke did take us to the train station, but the wrong train station. God knows how we got around, because we couldn't speak Belgian or French or anything like that. But yeah,
I know when it was as well, there was something that happened in the football, in the Italians, and we bumped into all these Italians and they was like going like that, trying to making the sign to cut the throats of the English.
Was oh like, I think it was 86, and it was like, you English, we're going, yeah, oh, we Italian, we didn't have a bloody clue what they were on about, you know, we weren't a football fan. And then yeah, we were told that, and it was like, oh, better shut up, let's not talk anymore.
I should ask actually, Brenda, talk to me about Jerusalem. How did you feel about the Style Council film?
I bloody loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And I liked it when they played it just before they come on. And me and Karen used to go along going, we'd actually know it word for word. Can't tell you it now. But, I showed other people and they're like, what a pile of poo. And it's like, no, you just don't get it. It was very tongue-in-cheek and I loved it.
They used to play that before. That was their warm-up bit before they come on. They used to play Jerusalem. So we must have seen it about a million times.
I still got a copy.
I love that bit. I love it. I absolutely, everything about it, I love.
Angels, the song I remember the most of it. Angel. I'm not going to sing.
Fairy Tales is another one, I think, at the end.
Fairy Tales, oh, yeah. Who are the Style Council? Well, actually, I love it. I've got it here. I'm watching it.
They're going to put it on now. Love it. Oh my God. Hey, look, that was so fun. Thank you so much for being on.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Oh my goodness me. What an absolute delight. So many brilliant, hilarious stories. My thanks to Karen and Brenda for joining me on the podcast. Check out some of those images that we talked about. We've got show notes for this episode as well. Just go to paulwellerfanpodcast.com. A little gallery of images for you there so you can see some of the things that we talked about. Brilliant. Whilst you're on the website, do head into my store. You can support us through our official merchandise. Now, you know you've made it when you see photos from the bootleggers outside of a Paul Weller gig, which I did the other day in Italy, that people shared with me. Thanks for that. And there they are. Dodgy t-shirt stand outside the venue. And t-shirts, ridiculously, with my logo on. I mean, come on now, really? So I would encourage you to head into the store and get, it's the only place to get your official merchandise, all right? You can also buy a virtual coffee if you fancy it. Thanks for doing that this week. Hello, Mike Steer. Thank you to you for your virtual coffee. Hello to the mysterious K, just the letter K, but thank you very much indeed. Hello, Sarah Kane. Hello to Daryl, aka the Autumn Cobbler, who says, listener since the start, Dan, always look forward to the podcast. So hopefully the governor will keep you waiting a good while yet. Love the recent episode with the heir apparent that he's Billy Sullivan. The lad is a real talent. I agree. Keep up the excellent work, pal. Thank you, Daryl. Much appreciated. Hello to Smeg from the 829 Club, who bought me a virtual coffee. Thank you, man. Hello to Kieran Keevy, who says, keep up the great work, Dan. Great to hear all the background stories. Thank you, Kieran. Hello to Jen. Thank you to you. Hello, Ron. Hello, Stephen Cartwright. Hello to Stu Burns. Hi to Jane, the jam tart with a heart. Hello, Nick Keane. Hello, Ewan, who says, cheers, Dan. Thank you. If you want to get involved, just go online, paulwellerfanpodcast.com. You can also get in touch on social media. If you head to X and search for @WellerFanPod, you'll find me. Do spread the word. Share this episode on your social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. It's Paul Weller Fan Podcast. On the next episode of the podcast, we hear more memories going back to the jam. Bruno Gallone is my very special guest. Talking, reaction, supporting the jam. Another cracking episode coming up. Make sure you follow, you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and more. And do keep spreading the word within the jam, the Paul Weller, the Style Council communities on Facebook and elsewhere. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.